Hi, and welcome to Pass and Review. Pass and Review is a weekly public service presentation of radio station KEZY in conjunction with the Joint Informational Services Office at the Altoona Marine Corps Air Station. Stay tuned as we present news and information about the United States Marine Corps.
From the Altoona Marine Corps Air Station, this is Marine Staff Sergeant Bob Vandywalker. And today we're going to be talking to a Marine from our own Orange County, Corporal Walter E. Ruck. And through his outstanding devotion to duty while serving in Vietnam, he was awarded the Bronze Star and two Purple Hearts.
Where's your hometown?
My hometown is at Newport Beach right now.
Where are you originally? Say, for example, where did you come from? Were you born in California?
No, I was born in Loveland, Colorado.
And your family's all moved out here?
Right.
Who do you live with in Newport Beach?
My grandparents.
Where do your father and mother reside?
At 11822 Rexford Road, Garden Grove.
So both your grandparents and parents live in Orange County here?
That's right.
And how long have you been in the Marine Corps?
About 5 years.
When did you go to Vietnam?
January of 63.
Now, you went directly from the States to Vietnam, is this right?
No, I didn't. I left the States. I went to Japan. From Japan, I went to Okinawa. From Okinawa, I went to Vietnam.
And how long were you in Vietnam?
I was in Vietnam about a year, better than a year.
And you were stationed at Da Nang?
At Da Nang.
Now, I understand that you've had some experiences in Vietnam. Can you sort of fill me in on some of your experience, what you had? For example, I understand that one incident we're going to talk about was that you were flying with the Army. Is this right?
That's correct.
How did this happen? Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Well, Colonel Merchant was going to Saigon, and he didn't need his driver at that time, so I asked permission to fly with the Army, which was granted. So I went over to the 52nd Airlift Platoon and caught a hop to Fuchon Valley, which was a mission.
In other words, they were going out on mission?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you went, just as a rider, or did you have some...
No, I went as a gunner.
As a gunner.
I was trained.
So, when you got aboard the aircraft, what happened then? Did you just take off, and where did you go?
Well, after briefing and everything, we boarded. We flew out to a place called Fuchon Valley. And this was actually where the mission was taking place. It was a resupply and troop drop.
And then when you got up in this valley, you were looking for Viet Cong, is this right?
Well, our mission was to recon the valley to find out if there was enemy in this area at all. This was the main purpose, is to find out and to draw fire from the enemy.
Now, do these helicopters fly low enough to where you can actually see the ground?
Oh, yes. If you're flying above a rice paddy, approximately 6 inches above. If it's a jungle, you're flying right over the trees. Sometimes you're clipping the branches. And if it's over huts or villages, you're flying right over the rooftops.
Was this helicopter by itself on this particular mission, or was there other?
Oh, no. I believe at the time we had 5 Marine Corps helicopters and 3 armed Hueys.
That are armed with different weapons for hunting out the Viet Cong, you mean?
No. All the armed Hueys over there at that time was set up for the same purpose. 4 M60 machine guns, 16 rockets, and then plus your personal weapons inside.
Who was on this Army helicopter with you?
Mr. Pomeroy.
What was his job?
He was a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the co-pilot's name. Crew chief and a Vietnamese observer.
And do you know the crew chief's name?
No, I don't. It's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Then what happened when you got up into this particular valley as you were flying over?
Well, once we got up there, the other UH-1BS called down for us to go down for the mission. So we started our run. We came down, we started banking to the right. There was a village that lay to the left of us. And as we were making our bank, we saw and heard automatic weapon fire At that time, Mr. Pomeroy turned around, smiled, and said, "We got a live one." So we started to pull up for another run. And at that time, the other helicopter called back to us and told us we were on fire. He made this statement about 3 or 4 times and to sit her down on the ground. And before we could sit her down, the tail boom blew off. The next thing, as you know, we crashed.
Was this fire started through a bullet or a...
Right.
And you did not know this at the time. In other words, you could not see it?
At the time, all we could hear was through the intercom was, set her down, you're on fire. And approximately, I believe, 5 or 7 seconds afterwards, we could see the flames wrap around the helicopter on the right side.
And who was telling you to set her down, from the other helicopter?
This was the our cover helicopter, which is another armed Huey, flying cover for us.
So then actually, you didn't have really the opportunity to set it down in the way it should be set down, is right?
Well, we didn't have a chance at all, because at that time, the tail boom blew off.
And it just fell.
And it fell, right.
Okay. How about yourself? Were you hurt at this particular time, or knocked out, or what?
Yes, at that time, I was, after the crash, I was knocked out. I don't believe too long. And after the operations and everything that has happened to get out of the helicopter, I was hit again.
But how did you get out of the helicopter?
Well, at the time, the helicopter was nothing but a burning wreck. There was a couple rockets in front of the door that had to be pushed out so we could get, pulled out or pushed away to get out of the helicopter. And the crew chief done this. And we managed to climb through that hole.
You were laying, in a rice paddy with water then, huh?
Right. Like I said, the helicopter was a mess. I couldn't tell if it was upside down or what. It was just nothing but a wreck, and there was just one little hole to get out of.
How about the pilot and the co-pilot this particular time?
Well, the co-pilot was hanging upside down in the back. He was thrown freely in the back of the chopper. And the co-pilot was trapped underneath the chopper at the time.
So then you went with the crew chief to rescue these two people?
Yes, after we set up a position.
Did you have any weapons at all to fire back? You were getting fired on it this particular
yes,
time.
Yes, we were. When I first came out, I realized we were receiving fire, so went back to the plane to try to get a weapon, and the only weapon I could get a hold of, since it was burning, was the grease gun, and that happened to be thrown out of the plane at the time, and that's what we used.
Do you have any rounds of ammunition in this particular grease gun?
I had about 40 rounds, that's about all.
What type of uniform were you wearing as far as yourself? Did you have a Marine helmet on, or what kind of helmet?
Well, I had an Army flight helmet and a camouflage flight suit.
Then you rescued this co-pilot, you and the crew chief rescued the co-pilot and
yes, we
pilot.
Did.
And then at that particular time, were you hit at all?
I wasn't hit until I went back out to the position again.
When you say position, you said something, you got away from the helicopter, is that
right? Right, I went up about, I guess, 50 feet away from it to set up a position behind some rocks that were in the rice paddy at that time.
Some protection, there's
right.
Protection there, right. And then, how did you get rescued out of there? How did you get out of there?
It was a Marine helicopter. That came down. He landed about 20 feet away from us and the burning wreck. And at this time, I believe the gunner of this helicopter jumped out, helped get Mr. Pomeroy, which was the pilot, and the co-pilot, and the crew chief aboard. And then came out and gave me a hand to get in. And took about 4 or 5 attempts to get the helicopter off, because it was fully loaded. In fact, it was overloaded. And it was in the mud, in the water. Like I said, my hand has to go off to them because...
Were they still firing at you all this while this was all
oh,
going
yes,
down?
Yes.
Now, where did you get? You got taken back to a hospital or...?
I was, all of us were flown back to Da Nang. We were there and the doctor performed some, I guess, emergency operations or whatever you want to call it. And from there, they took us from helicopter over to Da Nang Air Base and had a C-123 standing by. We were flown straight down to 8th Field Trang Hospital, which is central South Vietnam, right off the coast.
The main military hospital, right?
Right.
And how long were you in the hospital over there? Approximately.
I couldn't actually approximately, because I was out for so long, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Then you were flown back to the States?
No, not right away. After I got out of that, I went back to Vietnam again.
When you say back to Vietnam, where what took
Da Nang. Back to Da Nang again.
Da Nang, after you got on your feet, you mean?
Right.
Did you go out on any more missions after you got back there?
Yes, I did. We had another mission, which was Fuchan Valley again. And this time it was nothing but a troop drop again. When I talk about troop drop, it's picking up troops, taking them in and dropping them off. And we were flying out to this hilltop, and it was all fogged in, so we had to fly back. And on our way back, sniper round went through the windshield of the helicopter and went through the co-pilot's leg and went through the side of my cheek.
So you got hit the second time going out, right?
Yes, sir.
The second flight. Well, they finally realized then, by then, that you were probably much better in the air than you were on the ground, but you probably felt you were better on the ground, huh? As a driver?
Not really. It was, I don't know, it's the excitement. It's just something you can't explain. It's just, it just feels, you're scared, but yet you're excited. And you feel alive, but yet you're not alive. It just feels like you're a puppet on strings at the time this is taking place.
Well, getting away from Vietnam and getting back to the States, what happened after you got back here? You were awarded one award and plus two Purple Hearts. Can you sort of fill me in what happened? Did you know you were going to get the Bronze Star? Or when did you know, I should say?
Well, I heard rumors when I was in Vietnam that I was up for it, but I didn't expect to get it. When I came back to the States, I was stationed for 2 weeks in San Diego, and I was transferred down to Weapons Training Battalion at the range at Camp Pendleton. And I guess I was there for almost 6 months, and I got the word that my Bronze Star came in. It was quite a shock. I went to San Diego. They had a nice parade there and everything else. Major General Hotsmuth made the presentation.
Now, what organization are you in right now?
I'm with HS3, G2 section.
And that's in the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Now, G2 section, what is this? Is going to be a new job you're going into?
Yes, sir. I just shipped over, and I'm cross-training into this field.
Is there a possibility you might go to school in this field?
There is a possibility. I don't know yet. They're still working on it for me.
You came a long ways in such a short time, in the 5 years. And let me ask you another question. Do you feel that you'd like to ever go back to Vietnam?
Definitely, yes.
Is this true? You feel this is true among all the Marines, that the war that they're fighting over there, they're really interested in it. They feel it's very important, the job they're doing.
I believe so. It's hard to explain. They don't like to fight, but it has to be done. And once you're over there, you just don't care to leave it, because when you leave, you feel that your job's unfinished, and you always want to go back to complete. In other words, you want to stay there until it's over.
And the esprit de corps over there with the Marines are very, very strong, right?
It's very high. The morale is very high, even though conditions are bad. And it's just... it's the Marine Corps all the way around.
That's the way we live, I guess.
That's though. Right.
Being a Marine, you not only live with the Marines, but you were on this Army helicopter. What do you feel that the feeling of the Army personnel over there is? I know you've lived with them.
As I stated before in our brief talks, that the Army is great. I really believe this sincerely. Every man has self-pride and respect for his own unit, as such Marine Corps, Air Force, Navy, and Army, but... it's the same old thing you hear every day. It takes all four branches to win a war, and it's just teamwork. Everybody is one big team. In other words, it's just not the individual branch service, but it's the United States working as a team.
Well, I think this makes the war this much better as far as the military man. When we go over there as a team, we respect each other. Is that right?
Right. It's just like you belong to a NATO outfit or something like this. It's just... the service doesn't matter too much. It's just that you're all under the same flag, United States flag, and that's what you're fighting for.
Well, Walt, I want to thank you very much for talking to me today, and I certainly want to wish you an awful lot of luck in your future endeavors in the Marine Corps.
Thank you very much, Senator.
For the past 15 minutes, you've been listening to news and information about the United States Marine Corps. Join us again next week as the Marines at the El Toro Marine Corps Air Station pass in review.